Mishnah Zion. So now we're talking about a bed. Remember, that's Tameh. And it can be Tameh with Tumas Midras because a Zav or Anita lies down on this bed. Now let's talk about, yesterday we talked about the different pieces of the bed, which would create a situation of Panim Chadashot Bo'olakan. And we introduced the idea of a piece being able to be Mekabel Tuma from the bed, which was a very interesting kind of thing. Because what we did was we replaced one of the sideboards. A sideboard itself is not a kli, but the sideboard becomes a kli when it's part of a bed. However, it is not considered to be bottled to the bed and automatically be mekabel tumas midras of the bed because it itself was a shaykh to midras. Therefore, it can only become a maga midras. Now that leads us into, because it's a really interesting idea of what the differences might be between midras, tameh mace, in these kind of situations where you have parts of a bed that themselves are not necessarily shaykh to kabbalah tumah. Now, what's interesting is that if you've got a leg of a bed, a kerah, shaita tmei'a midras, v'chibra l'mita. Now, the leg, again, as the Gro explains, the leg, this he explained earlier, I think I mentioned it yesterday in Mishnah Hay, that the kerah of the mita is wide enough to be able to have a zav sit on it. And because of that, it can become tameh midras on its own. So in this case, it was tameh midras. And now you screw this leg onto a bed. So then because that screwing of the leg makes the bed into a bed and finalizes its status as a kli, the entire bed is then considered to be tameh midras because it's all one kli. And we said kol ha'mechuber l'tameh is the extended, remember we had a lot of examples of that by Kli 8 earlier in the Masechet, at least in the Baba Mitzia of the Masechet. So all of it would be Tameh Midras, but if the leg is taken off again, the leg retains its Midras because nothing has changed. But in this case, the pieces of the Mita are no longer Shayach to be Tumas Midras, but it's considered to be a Rishon Latuma because it touched the Midras, which was an Av HaTuma. So therefore, if the Mita will be functional again by attaching another leg to it, it's still going to be a Maga Midras. In a case of Tumas Mace, however, remember that Tumas Mace does not make the Kli that was Nogea B'Mace, does not make that into the equivalent itself. Over here, we're talking about somebody who was Tamei from a mace, could touch the mita, or we could have a leg that itself was tameh as an avatuma by touching the mace. So haitat me'atuma shiva. So let's say it wasn't tumas midras. You connected it to a bed. So then the entire bed, also for the same reason, because anything that is mechubet tameh is tameh as a single kli. So the entire bed becomes tameh tuma shiva. When you take off the leg, it too retains its tuma shiva. But the bed itself is also going to remain tameh, but only as a maga of tumas meis, because now it's a rishon. But what about if the leg was itself only a rishon? So suppose it was tameh because somebody touched it who was an avatuma. And in that case, it would not be tameh tumas shiva. What's the din of the tameh? Rishon is a mekabel tumas meis from someone who had touched the meis. You put it in the mikveh, and it becomes tahor that night. So that's called tumas erev. So suppose it was tameh tumas erev. Now you can elect, while it's still tameh, you connect that leg to the bed. Again, the same idea is true, that the entire bed will now be tameh tumas erev. If you take it off of the bed, then nothing changes in the leg because it was shaykh mimakabal tumah on its own. But in this case, if you take it off, there is no residual tumah on the bed whatsoever because a rishon tumah cannot be metame kaling. And therefore, we do not say that because of the fact that the bed was once itself part of something that was tame tumas erev, that when I took it apart and I put on another leg, that it's going to be tame. It is completely tohar, because the only level of tumah that it had was a tumah of maga, which is a rishon. A rishon's not matamik kalim. The same exact idea would be true about a case that we had earlier in the Masechet again, which where we were talking about a ma'ader, So we have a rake, a pitchfork, a hoe type of, well, not a hoe, it's a bit long thing. But anything that's got these little pieces of metal that stick into a base that makes a rakish kind of effect. So you've got these prongs that you stick in. So over there, remember that the metal, the prong itself, can become tummy. And then if you put them back in, you'd have exactly the same thing, depending what the tumor is. If the prong was the shane, which we're in English calling a prong, if the shane was an avatuma, so then when it's removed, the base still remains a rishon. But if the prong itself was on the rishon tumor, then there won't be any tumor left whatsoever on the actual leftover piece. Now, this is interesting because this actually affects the dinim of a tefillah shel rosh. Why is that? Because a tefillah shel rosh actually consists of four separate batim, right? And we glue them together if it's really cheapo, you know, cover it with a piece of leather. But ultimately, each one is a different bayit. So now, what would be the relationship of a tumah, which of course could be metame, the or of the tefillin? So the deal is like this. A tefillah, meaning a tefillah shel rosh, is considered to be our kelim. So it's four separate kli or. Now, suppose maybe there was a hole in the first ketzitza, and you take out that piece, you replace it with another piece, and cover it over again with a piece of leather, right? And you were metaking it. This is very similar to the case of the board with a bed with a sideboard that you took out one sideboard, and then it put it back in, and the other sideboard was replaced, and so on. Same thing can be true about a tefillin. So you replace your first ketzitza, then you replace the second, and then you replace the third. By the time you replace the fourth, you have panim chadashas bo'olaka. So we have exactly the same type of relationship. So over here, except that it's got four stages instead of two, we were talking about the aruchot hamita. So over here, if you were matir, you took out the first one and you put in a new one. So then the new one becomes tamei tumas meis because it's all one kli. So anything that's b'chuber is considered to be the same kli. Then if the second one breaks and you repair that with a new one. And then if the third one breaks and you repair that. But then if the fourth one has a hole and you replace that one, then you cannot say that anymore because now it's no longer tamei as tumas meis at all. Because since the fourth one, now it's panim chadashos bo'olakan, you basically have a new pair of tefillin. So then you don't have the original tumas meis, but by the same token that we said before, that the replacement sideboard of the bed, the first sideboard, makes it a maga of a tumas, in that case it was tumas midras. Over here it would be tumeya because of a maga of tumay meis. Now, suppose you go back to the first new compartment, right, and you change that. So your ketzitza rishona is now not even there. So now the new one that I put there is going to be tamei b'maga because it becomes one kli, the same way it did initially. And you do the same thing again. The second one is replaced. The third one is replaced. So in that case, everything becomes tar because the fourth one itself was only tar b'maga that first time around. But a kli that is only tamei b'maga is a rishon, and it cannot make anything else tamei. So in that case, ein maga oser maga, and the entire tefillin becomes tahor, even the fourth one, which is now considered to be part of this new panim chadashos. Perek Yotchet, Mishnah Tet. And you'll recall that this perek was about broken beds, and we took a brief detour to discuss the interrelationship of the various parts of a tefillin shel rosh to each other because of the very beautiful connection that they have to the gradually appearing ponim chadoshos bo lakan, which was the main chiddush of the idea of the pieces of the bed. So now getting back to the bed, let's talk about a bed which we broke into pieces and which then we lose part of the pieces. Now, this is a bit of a problem. Now, as you remember, that what we call a bed has got the parts that we were magdir, headboard and footboard, which we call the kitsar, and then we have the long boards, the sideboard on the left and the right, and then we have the kra'e hamita, and then we have the malbinot of the mita, and then we have the lishonot, and then we have also the chevel, that is used to go back and forth to create the surface for the mattress or whatever thing you're going to put onto Lot. So in this case, the problem is it was broken into pieces, but someone walked off with half of the bed. So it was ganav chetzia, or some of it was lost, or maybe there were brothers that had inherited the bed and each one wants a part of the action. So one takes half of the bed, one takes the other half of the bed, or maybe it was owned in a partnership and the partnership got into an argument. Anyway, so now since this bed is no longer going to be usable and there's no plan of putting it back together again, which you might have done in order initially, if you took the bed apart in order to put it together at night and you do this every morning, it would not have lost its shame kli. But over here, since someone walked off with it, it's never going to be put back together again. We now have different pieces. It's a broken bed and everything becomes tahor. Therefore, if somehow or other you get these people back together again, or the cops actually show up and found the broken bed, what's the chances? And therefore, if it happens and you rebuilt the bed, it's obviously not going to be tamei as if it were the bed that was originally there, because that bed was kaput. And therefore, it's mekabel tuma from this point forward, but only from this point forward. Now, suppose you have pieces of a bed, okay? Now, the question is, you've taken your bed apart. Now, I might have various pieces attached to each other. So let's imagine a situation where I've got my headboard, and the feet of the bed are attached to the headboard, right? Or maybe the malbein is attached to the feet. So the problem over here is, and by the way, this comes up, I know it sounds very esoteric, but it comes up all the time. You're taking kelim to the mikveh, okay? And you've got a kli that you could take apart into various pieces. So do you have to take it apart to put it in a mikveh? Or because of the fact that it's used this way all of the time, that's what the kli is? And then you just put the whole thing into the mikveh without laboriously pulling it apart and putting each piece into the mikveh? It's a very practical kind of question. So the shiloh over here has to do with the bed as well. In this case, you've got a leg that's attached to a headboard, right? Now, I mean, I can't get the water around the leg unless I detach it from the headboard. And a leg just with a headboard is not, I wouldn't think, a kli on its own. I should be able to just be tevel the whole thing in the mikveh. So what would be the din in that case? Well, a mita, its various parts, can actually become tamei as one thing. So it's metamei chavila. So let's say, obviously, if I've got the entire bed put together, then for sure it's a kli. There's no question about that. But when I've got the pieces of the bed that I intend to reassemble, and I have each of those things, I don't pull them apart into little pieces. I leave the bed legs screwed in to the headboard. So the chiddush over here is that even if something will touch, let's say a sheretz will touch the leg, it's going to be matami, the headboard, as well. Or we had the case before of midrash, which was our big serious concern, because we said that the kroy amita, according to the gra, are themselves usable for itself to be able to sin on. So obviously it's going to be mekabel to anything that's mekabel midrash is metame betumas meis or any other tuma. And because of that, you could actually put it into the mikveh as one piece. You don't have to take off the leg, even though the water is never going to get to the leg. So says Rabbi Eliezer, but the Chachomim say, oh no, either it's a whole bed or it's separate pieces. You can't take a part of the bed and say that this part of the bed is going to be a single kli. It isn't. So if you've got a mikveh big enough to put the whole bed into, that's fine. Clearly that is one kli. But if it is not a complete bed, then you have to see each piece as a piece. And because of that, it may be mitamai, the evarim, and it's mitaheret as evarim, but only as evarim, not as joined up pieces, which are artificially considered to be one. So then that means this is not considered to be the equivalent of the case that we had before of the shalal that the laundry was talking about, right? So here we're already talking about the same sugya today. Hadran alach. So this completes our parak.